Well, we're going to do another word study tonight. A couple weeks ago, we studied, I can't think of the word that we studied. Should probably have that written somewhere up here. But we're going to study the word joy tonight, and I will not stop singing the praises of eSword, which is an online tool. If you have a computer, it's eSword.net. Download that, install it on your computer. Go to YouTube, and there are hours of videos of how to use eSword. It is an excellent tool for you to study the Scripture. eSword.net. Say again? Oh, e-sword.net, eSword.net. The reason why I say that tonight is because when I did my study on joy, I used eSword's search function, and I typed in the word joy. And then I looked in the King James Version Plus, which gives you the Strong's concordance number for each word in the Scripture, and I looked up specifically that word joy. And in the Greek, it is defined as a cheerfulness that is a calm delight, a presence of dwelling in peace. That's a nice definition for joy. I think that's different than happy. There are things that can make us happy. Happiness is fleeting. But when I think of joy, I think of a state of mind. And the word that I have just been burdened with this year is perspective. And you should already know that by now because I think I've said it a lot. But it is very true that I am challenged to look at things that are happening in my life, in my country, in my ministry, through the right perspectives. A lot of the suffering that we experience is because we have the wrong perspective. We can have a negative perspective. We can have a selfish perspective where everything that happens, we turn it into how much of an inconvenience it is for us, how good it is for us. A bad perspective will not yield to good soul winning. If we're just worried about ourselves, we won't be able to look at the perspective of a lost person or look at the perspective of how good we are, how blessed we are to have eternal security. So when I look at this word joy, I think that definition is very fitting. Joy is more than just an emotion. It is a state of mind. It is a haven where we can constantly run to. And there is joy in our salvation. I was just recording a podcast before we came out here to do the service. In fact, that's why Mr. Gilbert did the music for us. And I was answering the question, is salvation conditional after belief? And I talked about, the difference between eternal security and assurance. Security is something that God has already done for us. He has completed our salvation. The moment that a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's done. There's nothing left to be accomplished. You're done. That's our position in Christ. Your assurance can be based on whether if you're not under good teaching, you can lose your assurance. Because you may begin to believe that, maybe I'm not saved because I haven't done these works, or maybe I didn't really believe, or maybe I don't know if God chose me or not. That's a lack of assurance. It's not a lack of security, but you get robbed of your joy because you're not grounded in truth. So if we want to understand what joy is, we need to understand what truth is and then live through that truth. It's very important to understand everything that you need to know is available to you through the study of God's Word. So I searched this word joy. It appears 59 times in the New Testament. 51 of those times it's translated as joy. 3 times it's translated as gladness. 1 time it's translated as greatly. And then joyful, joyfully, joyfulness, and joyous 1 time each. So I went through and I looked and I studied the verses before and the verses after where I saw this thing, joy. And I built a list of how we can experience joy. But the verse that I liked the most is where we will start tonight. It's in 1 John chapter 1 in verse 4. 1 John chapter 1 in verse 4. A quick word about 1 John. It is a book written to believers. No doubt you've heard about 1 John 3:9, where it says that if you're born of God, you will not commit sin. And people like to take that way out of context and say, see, if you sin after you're saved, you're not born of God. You have to understand the two natures. When you got saved, God didn't do anything about your old sinful nature. The Apostle Paul struggled with it. Peter struggled with it. You and I struggle with it. Instead, what happened is you were born again, and that new nature cannot sin. If that nature, in fact, did sin, it's not born of God. And so a lot of people like to use 1 John as some type of book to see if you're saved or not. It's a book to see if you are in right fellowship with the Lord. Mr. Brooks described fellowship in a way that I'll never forget. And you're going to like this if you're, you know, simple like me. Two fellows in a ship going the same direction. I like that. It's so easy to understand. Do you see the visual? Just two guys in a boat going the same direction. You ever been in a canoe with a person who's paddling the same side you are? What's going to happen? When I was a kid, we'd go to the Hillsborough River State Park, and if I would get, it depends on which brother I was paired with, on how much fun I was going to have that day. If I was paired with Cody, my younger brother, we'd have a good time because he understood when I paddled on the left, he paddled on the right, and we'd go straight. We'd make progress. If we needed to turn left, you both paddle on a certain side. You understand the principle there. If I was paddling with Casey, who's a typical middle child, guess what? We're going in circles the whole time. We're not going much of any place. And if there's a cobweb with a big old spider that he can push us through, guess what? Guess who's going to experience that? Me. But in order for you to go straight in a canoe, you have to have you got to be on the same page. And I think it's a beautiful comparison to our walk with the Lord. We got to be on the same page as He is. We have to understand how important our works are after we're saved for good fellowship. So 1 John is all about verse 4. Look in 1 John 1:4. And these things write we unto you, and you'd take good note of what he says next, that your joy may be full. Boy, this tells me a couple of things. Number one, the proper application of 1 John is to fulfill my joy, to get the most out of it. And number two, it tells me that there is a way for me to live my life without the fullness of joy. There is a way that I can live my life, walk with the Lord, and not have my joy full. And so I want to know, how do I get all of that? How do I experience all of that joy that is available to me? And I wrote six different things here that joy is available through. The first thing is Jesus. Listen, friend, it starts with Him. It's going to end with Him. And all the way through, it's Him. You look at the goodness of the promise that was given to us through God's Son, Jesus Christ. I love 1 John 5. We're not going to go there because we don't have time. But when you read in 1 John 5, you see like, Jesus was the record that God bore for all the world. And if you reject Him, you call Him a liar. But if you believe on Him, you have received the free gift of everlasting life. There is no such thing as joy without Jesus. If there is no Jesus, you can't have any joy that will last. There are people shooting up drugs. There are people consuming media. There are people, you know, trading stocks and making money and all that stuff. And all they're trying to do is just fulfill that void. But guess what? The stocks are going to drop. You're going to run out of drugs. You're going to run out of content to consume. The people you thought were friends are going to leave you. People are going to die. You're going to get sick. And that hole will still be there. The only thing that can give us real joy, not temporary happiness, is Jesus Christ. What God has done through us, through His Son, gives you and I joy. The one who believes receives eternal life. That's something you can move around about. I'm not a charismatic guy, but I get excited about that. If you listen to our podcast, there are points where my voice gets really loud and I start to talk a little faster than I should because I'm getting excited about what the Bible teaches. It just happened right now. Look in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. We're going to be bouncing around a lot tonight. 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 3. 1 Peter 1, 3. Joy is available through Jesus, and we're going to talk about this point here. Look in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, so we're talking about Jesus, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So God has given us something. Look what that says again. Abundant mercy. He's begotten us again unto a lively hope. Not a dead hope. Not something we once had, but it's lost now. It's alive. It is breathing. It is full of life. Specifically by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now look in verse 8. Whom, and I believe we're still talking about Jesus here, having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with, there's that word, chara, joy, and look at what kind of joy it is. Unspeakable and full of glory. I think it would be a good habit for you and I to get into a point where we are speechless because we have dwelt on the goodness of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. You know how that happens? I think it's through prayer. Thanking the Lord for his many blessings. Remember we talked about on Sunday, getting ready to go to work, getting ready for those spiritual battles. And it was all capped off with prayer, supplication for the saints, intercessory prayer, praise. This is why I love hymns. I love hymns because the good old hymns, I know people may call me old-fashioned, I don't care. Those hymns teach truth. There hasn't been a hymn written as good as Amazing Grace. When you think about who wrote that, when you look at other hymns like It Is Well With My Soul, that's a great song. What's well with my soul? It's all paid for. Tell me more. The little card, scanning the card, that contains things like that. We can get joy that is unspeakable through song. We can get joy that is unspeakable through circumstances, things that happen to us with the right perspective. We can achieve those things. Now go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 4. We're going to look at what when Jesus uses this word, joy. John 15, 4. This is the chapter that's talking about, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Look in verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. That word abide means to remain. Remain. Look what it says in verse 5. I, Jesus says, am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Now he's talking to his disciples here, but there's a great principle that you and I can pull from this. If you want to thrive, you got to abide. If you want to have success in your Christian life, you need to be rooted in the vine, where success is. Now look in verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. We just saw that in 1 John. So I think the application of 1 John is pulled a lot from what Jesus says here throughout the Gospel of John. Jesus has joy, this verse tells us, that is available to you. You see the personal relationship there? There's a closeness. This is not just simply you're now friends with the judge. He's your dad. Jesus is your friend. He's your savior. He's the one who intercedes for you between you and God. That's awesome. I want to go have dinner with somebody like that. I want to build a relationship with somebody like that. But there's a very important truth we need to see here in verse 11. That your joy might be full. And there's many things that we did not look at in that passage, which you would be benefited to look at later. But if I think about what was said in verse 5, abide in me. This is a good question to ask yourself. Am I living my life in a way where I am abiding with Christ? Or am I simply living life for myself? Selfishly, foolishly. There's a difference between being busy and being productive, and it's good for you to recognize where you are. But how is your joy? How is your walk with Him? So not only is joy available through Jesus, but it's also available through the Holy Ghost. And I want you to see here in Romans chapter 15 in verse 3. As we're turning there, I have just been getting a lot of questions about the Holy Spirit because there's a lot of false teaching out there about the Holy Spirit. And I just want to remind you, you've heard me say this, but I'm going to say it again. When you walked in today as a believer, you've received all the Holy Ghost you will ever need the moment that you believed in Christ, period. You don't have to call Him down. We don't have to sing chorus after chorus after chorus for God to move this place. You want to see God move? Lead a soul to Christ. That's seeing God move. You want to see God move? Hand over the keys and let Him drive. You want to see God move? Study your Scripture. It's not some song and dance. I was listening to a preacher the other day who, I think he's a false teacher, unfortunately, but he was talking about we need to have the same experience that happened in Acts 2 needs to happen in all of our churches. So you need to be blessed with a tongue of cloven fire over you, and the walls need to shake here. Friend, 3 weeks ago, two people came into this building on Sunday morning, and they trusted in Christ, and according to what the Scripture said, heaven was jumping up and down. It was silent in here, but those two that trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior were received up into glory. No walls shook. I wasn't blessed with holy fire. I was simply obedient to give the message. And you were obedient to pray for them, and they decided to make a decision to trust in Christ. That's how the Holy Spirit works. But we can have joy through that same Holy Spirit that is indwelling you and me. Look what it says in verse 3. Romans chapter 15 and verse 3. For even Christ pleased not Himself, as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. That's not the right verse. Oh man. I'm not sure. I'll have to look that up again. Is it in 13? Ah, yes. Very good. Thank you. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So as you draw closer to the Lord, you begin to be filled by the Holy Spirit, which is different than indwelling. Indwelling is something that happened the moment that you believed. Filling happens over time as you walk with the Lord. So as we walk with the Lord, the God of hope fill you with all joy. That's the same word that we studied that Jesus used there that we saw in 1 Peter as well. And peace. So there's a side effect. I know when you hear side effect, we're trained not to like it. This is a good side effect. This is a good side effect. When I look at the peace of God that passes all understanding that's said in Philippians 4, I think that's peace between God and man through Jesus Christ. And that is available in your darkest moment. That is available for the tribulation believers who will be asked to take the mark of the beast, and they will reject it and they will lose their lives. Even in that moment, before the axe comes down and separates that head from their body, guess what? They can have a joy and peace. Because it is not dependent upon the conditions of the world. It is depending upon what God has already done through His Son. That's a great truth. Look what it says now in James chapter 1 and verse 2. So we talked about how joy is available through Jesus, through the Holy Ghost. Now we're going to see how joy is available through temptations. Ooh, wait a second. Those aren't fun, though. And I know they're not. I know they're not. There are many people in here that have gone through numerous trials and temptations and difficulties, which I also want to say, this ministry is with you in those things. We pray for you. This is why we have Wednesday night prayer meeting, regardless of how many people show up. Because I think things like this are important, that we pray for one another, that we bear one another's burdens as Christ has done that for us. Look what it says in James chapter 1 in verse 2. My brethren, count the things you think are okay. No, what's it say? Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Now, we're not talking about mermaids, but not that kind of diver. We're talking about multiple. I'm glad some of you smiled when I said that joke. That's good. I'm getting better. Multiple temptations. When we may be assaulted from all sides, when it just seems like things will not calm down, count it all joy. See, how can we count it joy when the circumstances are against us? Because it's not about our circumstances. It's about our position in Christ. It's about the blessings that we have received. So not only in temptations, but we can also enjoy joy through prayer. Look in Philippians 1:4. Philippians chapter 1 in verse 4 says this, "Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy." So Paul is praying for a specific thing and a specific attitude. He prays for them out of what? Joy. Out of, as the word is described here, a cheerfulness that is a calm delight, a presence that is heavy. Joy. That's how Paul prays. Do we pray out of joy or do we pray out of habit? Jesse, don't touch that. That hurts. Look, friend, I say the same thing to myself. There are many times where I go to the Lord habitually, just because I'm supposed to. But over time, you should learn how to pray out of joy, knowing that if you bring something to the Lord, whether he answers yes or no or wait, that any answer that he gives, whatever he decides to do, he is faithful. He is good. God does not make a mistake. He loves us. The Spirit intercedes and helps us to say the right thing when we cannot say the right thing ourselves. That'll cause joy. But there's an attitude that we can pray that we receive joy from. The last two points here, fellowship can bring about joy. Look in Acts chapter 15. As we see the effects of, you know, the pandemic subside, and I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but you can see a lot of the things that were done in the name of public health were just a trial run to see how many of our liberties could be taken away. But you know what's happening now? People are not coming back to church. They're not coming back to church because, well, we've learned to live without it. Friend, let me tell you what happens here. When you're not here, you miss out on joy. And I'm not saying that so we get better attendance. Whether you come to church is between you and the Lord. I have a responsibility to teach the truth, and I will teach the truth. But I would love for people to be here than over the airwaves. Now, the church in Australia that is using our messages as a satellite church, I'm all for that. I don't expect them to, you know, make a trip all the way over here every Sunday and Wednesday night. You know what I'm saying? But there is joy that comes with fellowship. Men, those prayer breakfasts, it's not just so we can, you know, so I can just have an excuse to put you to work, or so it's an excuse for us to have some McDonald's sandwiches. It's an opportunity to bless one another, to pray for one another. Those prayer sheets are very important. Fellowship produces joy. Look in Acts chapter 15 and verse 3. "And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenix and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren." The presence of these men coming in, giving praise reports, caused joy among, and I want you to see specifically the group of people, unto all the brethren, those who are a part of this new body of Christ at this time. When you come on Wednesday night and you share a praise report like Miss Gilbert did, like Hortense shared with us last week, and many of you have shared praise reports in the past, that gives us joy to see our God working and answering our prayers. But we can miss out on that through Zoom. We can miss out. We can Zoom right by it. Hey-o. We can miss out on a live stream. We can miss out on a little email devotional. I remember a long time ago when we started to really pick up our live stream, Dr. Arnold I met in his office. I think this was when I was still in school, and we were talking about some different things. And he said, "Sometimes I just want to cut the live stream off. It'll force people to come here." I was like, "Well, hang on. Let's just wait a second." And I'm not anti-streaming or anything like that. I think it's great. Think about our podcast reaching that young woman in Romania who is still struggling. I talked to her today. She's still struggling to put her faith in Christ. I want to make sure we can still reach her. But it is important to be present amongst like-minded believers. There's something about it you don't get at the bar. You don't get when, look, I loved watching the Super Bowl and I was with people that were so excited, but guess what? Win or lose, that was not joy for me. That was a happy thing and I enjoyed it, but guess what? Here today, gone tomorrow. Guess what really brings joy to me more than any sporting event or any kind of entertainment? Jesus Christ. Seeing you guys here brings me joy. Look what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 4. First Timothy chapter 1 in verse 4 says this, "Neither give heed to fables and..." I don't know if that's the right verse either. Boy, Esau, come on. No, that's not the right verse. Check 2 Timothy just in case. Yep, that's what it is. 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 4. "Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy." Paul says to this young man, and I really encourage you to study 1 and 2 Timothy. Paul loved this young man because he was going to be taking on the mantle of sharing the gospel around the known world at that time. And Paul wanted to encourage him. And what it says here is greatly desiring, he wanted to see him, not just write him a letter, you know what I'm saying? He wanted to partake in seeing him, as it says here, that I may be filled with joy. Yeah. Have you not seen someone in a while that if you could see them tonight, it would fill you with joy? Oh boy, I can think of a lot of people. I can think of a lot of people. I got friends in Georgia. I got friends in Texas. I got friends in Chicago. I have people that have passed away that I would love to be in their presence. You know who else I'm waiting to see? Jesus. I remember one of the songs that I sang with Peter, and it was called "I've Just Seen Jesus." Chills. Beautiful song. Absolutely beautiful song. But the message was there. I've just seen Jesus. So when we look, when we're able to see one another, we're able to hug one another, we're able to partake in just being around one another, we can receive joy. Last verse here for this point. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 through 20. "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing?" It's a good question. "Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For ye are our glory and joy." Not only is this talking about fellowship, but let me tell you what, the people you win to Christ, they'll bring you joy. I've been very blessed to be involved in Ranch for 9-something years now because there are kids that come back. I think of Robert and Erica. Our ministry led them to Christ. He's a deacon now. He helps run our soundboard. She helps out in Ranch. Tyler Johnson. Boy, I kicked him out twice. I've only kicked out one person. Guess what his name is? Tyler Johnson. He's come for 2 weeks now. He drives over an hour one way, brings 7 kids with him, and they're trusting Christ and they're learning about the gospel. Led that young man to Christ with free pizza after we beat them soundly in a Frisbee game. Years ago. He brings me joy to see him, to talk with him. The people we lead to Christ, the people you provide counsel to, you can receive joy out of that. We miss all of that when everything's digital. We miss it all. And the last thing is obedience. Look in 3 John. Boy, you didn't think we were going to go there. 3 John. 3 John chapter 1 in verses 3 through 4. It's on page 1327. When you're doing a sword drill, which is how fast you can go to the verse that's just been said, there are a couple books that cause me fear. 3 John and the book of Hezekiah. All right? I hear that, I'm going, nah, I've been to this show before. or another one too, Lamentations. You're like, oh man, you're trying to figure out where that is. Could cause a lot of lamenting. 3 John chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, we're talking about how obedience brings joy. Look what it says here. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. Remember I told you I have friends all around the country? It brings me great joy to see they're still walking with the Lord. It really does, because I've also had friends that no longer do that. And that breaks my heart. I'm driven to prayer for them, and I'm driven to prayer for the ones that are still going. I was talking with Tina Pinnamang today, and Blake. They were talking in between class. And Tina was talking about, she had just learned about about what the Roman Catholics had done to our Bible. How they were really hiding it from people, telling them one thing and the Bible said another. You know what the Pope just declared? God's going to flood the earth. And of course, when you go to the passage where it says God's not going to flood the earth, he says, well, that's for God's wrath. This is for climate change. Folks, either the Bible's true or it's not. But I remember talking to Tina and Blake, and this is what they have they're learning. Here's where the truth is. It's through God's word. And Tina said, I just don't see many churches abiding by this book. And I told her, the question that I asked myself in college was, who is going to go out and proclaim what the Bible teaches? And I remember looking at Justin and looking at Tyler, and we all decided it's going to have to be us. Because we can go out there with a flashlight and we can try to find somebody else, but guess what? Turn that flashlight on yourself. You can be that light. I've told people on the phone. They've said earnestly, I can't find a good church. And you know what I tell them sometimes? Like, are you sitting down? You could start one. You can start one. It can be done. Maybe we need more people willing to start a church. We need more people willing to go out there and create the thing that they want to see. Boy, it can go a long way. But that's just a little scratch of the surface of the word joy. I encourage you to go look it up, that Strong's word for joy. And we looked at a lot of different things here. And the other times that joy is described in the New Testament, it's really talking about something that someone else had felt or something that came along with another thing that a person was doing. So I didn't look at those as much, but that doesn't mean they're discredited. These jumped out at me, and I decided, you know what, let's just do a little excavating. Let's just do a little digging and see how we can apply this word to our lives. I hope you've been blessed by this. There have been a couple of times this past couple of months where I've forgotten to give the wallet illustration because my wallet, it wasn't in my pocket, okay? I went to Walmart and got a big wallet, okay? Doesn't change what's in it, pray for me. But it does remind me to be consistent in this message. I say that as a little joke, but also I say this in all seriousness. This is where joy starts. For the lost person in your life, when you did not understand the gospel, believing in this message is where your joy started. This hand represents you and me. My wallet represents sin. I'm going to put this on top of my hand because we've all sinned. God, he loves us. He hates our sin because it separates us from him. And that word death means eternal separation from God. It's literally, the word means separation. If we were to pay for one sin, we'd have to spend an eternity in hell forever separated from God. That's the truth. The Bible tells us that in Romans 3:23 and in Romans 6:23 as well. In order to get to heaven, you have to be perfect without any sin, just like God. And you're not. You're not. Even if you started living in perfection from right now, you have all that stuff in the past. Romans 5 tells us that death passed on to one man. It's therefore sin passed on from one man to all of us. You're born into it. It's who you are. A lot of world religions will teach a list of good works, a life of good works, can be exchanged for God's righteousness. That's not true. You cannot work your way to heaven. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 tells us that. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works. Now that's either literal or it's not. I think it's literal. It's not of any works that we can do. This hand, figuratively, will represent Jesus Christ. He was perfect. He knew no sin. He was fully God and he was fully man. The Bible tells us in Hebrews that he was tempted in all points like we have been, but he was found without sin. And 2,000 years ago, when Jesus Christ got up on that cross, when he was nailed, when he was whipped and he bled and he gave up that ghost, he died for you and for me. He took all of this sin, laid it upon himself, was buried, and he came back from the dead to prove that he had victory over that. Now, there wasn't a three-day process in which he was paying for sin. When Jesus Christ said on the cross, "It is finished," he was talking about this: for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, and the moment that you believe, whosoever believeth, should not perish, but have a certain kind of life, and it's everlasting. It's not conditional. After you believe, once you believe, your pass from death unto life shall not come into condemnation. That's a joyful message. There's nothing in the world like that. You go to AT&T and you get a year free of service. Guess what happens on the 366th day? You owe. You don't pay. You don't call. There's nothing in the world like that. So if you're here tonight and you have not received Jesus Christ, if you have not believed on him, I encourage you to do so. I look out here and I see everyone has. I don't know about those on the internet. If you're listening on the internet, I want to encourage you to put your faith in Christ. Believe on what he did for you, and you receive the free gift of everlasting life. How's our joy? I hope this study has blessed you tonight in that you can see the Scripture teaches these truths. We can have joy through Christ, through the Holy Spirit, through our temptations, through prayer, through fellowship, and through obedience. And that's just the top of it. There's a whole Old Testament that we could have looked at different words for joy, but we only have so much time, and I've already taken 3 extra minutes from you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Yes, when we study God's Word, we can spend a lot of time. For those of you, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. For those of you online, who maybe you have not trusted in Jesus Christ, want to offer an invitation to you. The invitation doesn't expire after the camera goes off. You can believe at any time. Just do it before you die. And I want to encourage you, if you're watching this, to share it with other people, as it could be the one thing that brings them to Christ, brings them to the understanding of what they must do to be saved. Father, thank you for the study of your word. Thank you for the people who have developed programs like eSword that help us learn and grow. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that illuminates truth in all the lives of the believers. Bring us back here safely on Sunday morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.